Never seen the sky so blue. Birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Yeah.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on this gorgeous morning. And if this isn't a day for planting, I don't know what day is. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. And we are sponsored this morning by Ivory Homes and their brand new community out in Eagle Mountain. You're going to love this community we're going to be talking about today. Now, Ivory Homes, such a great sponsor. They are the ones that sponsor our Green Tip, and they are promoting the Spring of Hope, and they want to make sure that we are all water wise. And they really think about these things when they are planning their communities, Ton. And so today we thought we'd start out the show and talk about water wise plants. And you have come up with several for us. And it's important to be water wise. We were talking about this on the show last week, and the fact that we haven't received the water that we should have this spring. Like, we are way behind when it comes to the water here, Ton.
We are, and I hope we aren't going into another drought pattern, but even if we do all of a sudden get rain back and normal precipitation with our population growth, whether we have drought or not, we are just going to have to be more and more careful about how we use water.
And we need to be smart anyway. Why plant things that take more water than other things? So you have come up with some cool things for us to talk about this morning. The first one, the double file, I can't even say some of these
viburnum.
Things that you come up with, Viburnum Shasta. Now tell us about that.
The Shasta Viburnum, and there's another one called Marie's Double File Viburnum that look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And they are related to Snowball Bush and other common viburnums that flower in the spring, but this one I like because not only, and when I say water wise, that's kind of a relative term. You know, they are going to need to be deep watered every few weeks once they're established,
mm-hmm.
but in the spring they have a very beautiful look, and it's a more layered, almost Japanese garden look, something maybe that would fit with a Japanese maple than just a standard, which they're closely related to, Snowball Bush. And so I really like the look of Marie's Double File and the Shasta Double File Viburnums because they're not overused and they just add a certain elegance that I think the Snowball, even though it's a pretty shrub, does not.
I love my Snowball. It's in full bloom. I was going to send you a picture of how gorgeous it is.
No, and they are gorgeous shrubs. And I think that the Double File Viburnums have almost a different place to where maybe a Snowball would fit into a cottage or an English or even a standard American garden. The Double File is one that might be a little more formal, or if you like the Japanese garden look, it would fit very well into that.
So what are some of the things we need to think about if we are going to plant these?
They're going to be a little harder to find, but most major garden centers should have one of the two. And otherwise, they're very adapted. They will tolerate our alkaline soils, and they will bloom usually right after lilacs do, and so they'll extend that spring color a little bit. And this would go for just standard Snowball Bush. But they're easy to care for. There's nothing special they need besides just making sure that you get them established well. And then after that, not overwatering them, but just making sure they're deep watered every few weeks.
Okay. And how do they compare, say, to a Snowball Bush, which most people know what a Snowball Bush is?
They get the same size. It's just that they have a little bit more layered look, and the flowers actually look a lot more like a hydrangea flower than the mm-hmm. standard Snowball.
And what colors? What colors?
Just white.
Just white.
This one. Sometimes they might have a little blush of pink or something, but this is one that is just white.
Is there a fragrance to them?
No.
No fragrance like my Daphne. That's what I love about the Daphne. Oh, my goodness.
No. Some viburnums actually do have wonderful fragrance. There's several of the, like Birkwood's, the viburnums, the Birkwood's viburnum, Pink Dawn viburnum, both have wonderful fragrance. This particular species doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, today we are going to be joined by our great folks at Ivory Homes. They want to tell us about their Overland community. That is in Eagle Mountain, 6344 North Vernon Drive. And this is an incredible community. It's going to be providing up to 3,000 homes when it's completed. And today, after the Greenhouse Show, they're going to be having an open house from 11 to 2. So it's your chance to go out there and see these homes. And I want you to know that they have put in place all of the CDC's recommendations, so it's safe for you to go out there. And truly, this community consists of a variety of homes that appeal to all types of buyers, creating this ideal, diversified community for those who are looking to move up, down, or purchase a home for the very first time. So they have something for everyone. So you're going to want to go out and see their model home today. And if you're an outdoor enthusiast, you're going to enjoy breathing the inversion-free air, exploring the nearby historic Pony Express Trail, playing a pickup game of baseball or soccer at one of their many nearby fields. For them, it's really Ivory Homes is creating a great community, not just building homes. So again, they are out there having an open house today from 11 to 2. I'm going to give the address again. This is 6344 North Vernon Drive in Eagle Mountain. They're going to have some fun things. You will find two Ellie the Elephants that you will win flowers. So you have to go out and search for Ellie the Elephant, and you can win some flowers. And the flowers, the prize, you know, that's while the supplies last. They're also going to be giving away energy drinks, and they're going to have a bunch of fun activities for you to take part in as well. Again, the address, 6344 North Vernon Drive. We're taking your calls this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your questions this morning. We are sponsored by Ivory Homes and their great new community. This is out in Eagle Mountain at 6344 North Vernon Drive. Our first texter, Ton, they're asking about a flowering crabapple tree about 3 inches in diameter. They planted it 4 years ago. Didn't anchor it well, and it's been slightly leaning since then. And they're wondering, is there a way to straighten it back up without damaging the tree?
Well, I'm hoping it's anchored so it doesn't blow over in the wind, but if
it sounds like it's just leaning a bit.
If it's just leaning a bit, they could try gently pulling it, but if you pull it too much, it'll harm the trunk and it will harm the roots and it might sever them. And so 4 years after the fact, unless it's flexible enough, that may be a little late.
So maybe some sort of post and just gently maybe attach it to a post until it kind of straightens up, or will it?
Well, and I mean, doing that, you can actually make the tree dependent on the post.
Mm.
And so you don't, whatever they're going to do, they don't want to do for more than one season, but that would be the only way to do it, is to put a T-post or something in the ground and then try to pull the tree that way, but do it gently enough that they don't harm it.
All right, let's take our first call from Beth in Grantsville. Good morning, Beth. How can we help you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
So I had a question about planting a lawn by seed. So we just sprayed everything in our yard with glyphosate a week ago to get rid of all the weeds that were in our yard. And we wanted to know what to do to prep the soil before we plant the seed.
It depends on your cash reserves a little bit. But if you have the money, then what I would recommend doing is getting an inch or two of compost, a couple inches if you can afford it, and tilling it into the soil 6 inches deep, and then raking it out, you know, and leveling it. But it, do you have your sprinkling system in already?
Yes, we do. We installed it last year.
Okay, good. So what you would do is get that compost in, then, but you would actually run your sprinkling system a couple of times to make sure that it's suitable and you've got water coverage everywhere. But the other purpose for this is if that compost happens to be a little salty, then those irrigations can help some of those salts wash through the soil, and then you'll be ready to put down your seed.
Okay.
Now, you'll want to look at your bottle of glyphosate and look at what's called the pre-plant interval, because it'll say don't plant seed or saw or lay sod usually for 7 days. Sometimes it's 14. So you'll want to look at that also and make sure you're safe there.
Okay.
All right.
And I had one question about watering. So after we plant the seed, how long and how often should we water until the seed germinates?
You're going to have to watch your soil and watch the weather, because if we're 70, you may only need to water, you know, two or three times. But if it's 85 and windy, you may have to water six or seven or eight. And so what you're going to need to do is just keep an eye on things, and you don't want the soil to dry out, but you're also not trying to create a totally swampy, muddy mess. And so because you don't want that soil to dry out anywhere, if you can avoid it, it may involve just a little bit of hose sprinkling, just from a hose and sprinkler, and you will want to manage your system just so if you start to see any dry spots, you need to activate the system.
Okay. And what time would be best for watering?
You're going to have to water all day long. I mean,
okay.
You can't just water at night, because the surface, that seed's only on the surface or maybe a 16th of an inch deep. And because it's so close to the surface, if the soil's drying out, the seeds are drying, and that kills them.
Okay.
So you don't want to run things all day, but you want to maybe run them for 5 minutes or 3 minutes or 7 minutes, and then shut it off, and then do it again in a couple hours if it's hotter. So you're just going to have to observe the soil, and if it starts to dry out, do a run. And then your clock will have programs on it to where you can run those programs, and, you know, multiple times a day, but you're just going to have to get a feel for it. But it's going to need to be monitored just like a new little puppy.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Beth, thanks for your call this morning. A good time to do that, though, Ton, right? Spring
it
is still cool.
It is so hard to start seed in the middle of the summer when it's 95. And you talk about, I mean, if you miss a watering, sometimes by even a half hour, you'll lose a lot of your seed. So this is a wonderful time to lay sod or put seed down.
All right. Next texter is asking, how do you eradicate snake grass, also known as horsetail? No laughing.
I'm sorry.
We have these things that are tormenting us in our yards. Come on.
Well, Larry Sager's always used to tell people the easy thing to do is move. So,
other than moving, how do we eradicate it?
The equisetum comes in because it's wet, and it's a riparian plant that holds soil, brings nutrients up from lower down in the soil up, and it's a net positive contributor where it's supposed to be growing, but not in your yard. And because it's deeply rooted and has very waxy stems, it's hard to get rid of. If it's in the lawn, they may have to clip the tops off and then brush it with Roundup using a wicking wand, or they put a rubber glove on and then a cotton glove and just rub the tops. If it's in a garden area or someplace they can spray some Roundup, what I would recommend doing is weed whacking the tops off. So you don't weed whack it to the ground. You just cut off the top 3 or 4 inches. And then I would use a glyphosate product mixed with lawn weed killer and a spreader sticker. And that will knock it back, but you're going to have to keep it up for 2 or 3 or maybe even 4 years.
Okay, let's take our next caller, Steve in Cottonwood Heights. Good morning, Steve. What is your question?
Good morning. morning. I have some boxwood hedges that have been around a while, but they're looking kind of anemic, and I want to know if I need to put iron on them. I have some chelated iron that I haven't used for a while at home, and just wondering if that will help to get them back to their nice green.
Well, when they look anemic, is it just on one side of the shrub, or is it the entire?
No, it's kind of all over.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't sun scald or salt burn or something. Well, boxwoods don't generally get iron chlorosis, and what you would see in those leaves are a light green leaf with some darker green venation in it. And so if it's the entire hedge, that would more indicate maybe something environmental happened to them. Has the watering situation changed at all to where they were cut off or got too much or anything?
No, but they were trimmed really late in the year last year.
Okay.
Last fall. They were, so I recognize that there probably needs to be some new growth that will come out, but it doesn't look like that's happening very much. And what the leaves that are on it that exist are just a very kind of a light.
That's a big
green.
No-no is to do a trimming, especially on those in the fall. What I would recommend doing is just giving them a mild fertilization with just even some lawn fertilizer, as long as it's not weed and feed, would be fine. And then you can put that iron down and see if it will help, but see if you can stimulate some new growth in them.
Okay. All right. Mainly nitrogen or?
Mainly nitrogen.
Like
nitrogen stimulates growth. And then in the future, fall cleanup should not include trimming of trees and shrubs if you can avoid it.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good advice. All right, thank you.
Steve, thanks for your call this morning. We have a text from Dave in Syracuse. He has a green spiral linden tree that drops yellow leaves and blossoms all summer. He loves the tree. It's beautiful, but he's wondering what's happening with it and if there's any way to prevent it from this big mess that it's making.
Well, the flowers, unfortunately, you know, if you have a tree, it's going to produce something. If you have a dog, it goes to the bathroom. So it's just one of those things you put up with. But with the dropping yellow leaves, that isn't good. And it may get worse in the future. So what I'd recommend doing is looking at the trunk and making sure that it's not buried too deep. You should be able to see the root flare, which is where the trunk goes down and starts to expand. And then where the root starts, that's called the root flare. That should be at ground level. But if that tree is in the ground and it looks like a pencil, that could be causing that. Lindens are not particularly drought hardy, although they grow well in our soil. And then I would make sure that it's deep watered every 10 days to 2 weeks. So water penetrates 18 inches into the soil. And then he may need to, if it's really bad, investigate and carefully excavate around the trunk and look for a girdling root.
Okay, what is that? And how do they, a girdling root, like one that's strangling the other roots?
Exactly.
Okay.
What it will do is when the tree was in the pot, if it's root bound, the roots start to spiral. And if you have one especially close to the trunk, as the trunk grows and that root grows, it'll actually choke the tree.
Uh-huh. What do they do?
Well, if they
just
found
cut
a girdling,
that one out?
Yeah, they would have to get a saw and just very carefully cut it out and then rebury that, and that usually helps.
All right, let's take a call from Ron in Mill Creek. Good morning, Ron. What is your question?
Well, I have two questions. Number one, is it warm enough? I've got the darn temperature thing here to plant corn today. I don't want it to rot in the ground, but I'm ready to plant.
It should be fine.
Next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be 49, 52 at night. And 68, 69, 74 in the daytime.
The soil itself is the more critical thing right here because it slowly warms up and it adds as it almost acts like a heat sink to where it will not cool down as much at night. And so if you're that worried about it, you could go over to Walmart or a local hardware store and get a cooking thermometer that you want to make sure goes down into refrigerated temperatures. Stick that thermometer in your soil, and if the soil temperature is in the 60s, you are absolutely fine to plant your corn.
In the 60s or 50s?
High 50s into the 60s.
High 50s to 60s, okay. Okay, for high 50 to 60 for
the... Yes, I mean, it's Mother's Day has passed. You are absolutely fine. But if you just, if you want to double check, you can put that cooking thermometer into the soil and see.
Okay, is it a good idea to soak corn overnight before planting?
I've never done so, and it germinates just fine. And, you know, the like Harvard Farms that grows hundreds of acres, they don't have big vats of soaked corn seed. They just put it right in the ground and get really good germination.
Doesn't make much difference.
No, I mean, the only people soaking corn seed are probably making whiskey. So, yeah, I think you're fine.
You went off somewhere there,
yeah,
Anton.
Yeah.
Okay, what are those flowers, Laura? Oh, do marigolds, we've got marigolds around our garden. We've always done it just kind of for fun. Do they keep insects out of the garden, or do they not make any difference?
They don't make much difference other than they add to the biodiversity of the garden, and they will create habitat sometimes for beneficials. And then sometimes if you get pests, they may prefer the marigolds over the tomatoes. But if you really want to create an environment where you're attracting a lot of beneficials in that would eat things like aphids and other harmful insects, then you would actually put other flowers out there too. And you don't want to put double flowers because it's hard for the bees and insects to get into, just single flowers. But you can put other annuals out there and it will help promote beneficial insects.
I don't know. My grandmother always said the marigolds worked. I'm just saying.
I say that, and I'm going to get 10 nasty emails.
You are. And the Greenhouse Show today, sponsored by Ivory Homes and their beautiful new Overland community in Eagle Mountain at 6344 North Vernon Drive. We'll be back following the news.